For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, God's Plan, as we pick up in Philippians chapter 3, verse 11. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
If by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. It's sort of sad that so many people seem to feel that they have attained or they've achieved in their spiritual walk. And they sort of sit on little pedestals, little ivory towers. I've attained, I've achieved, here I am, you know, come and I'll teach you. Sit at my feet and learn. But Paul the Apostle said, look, I don't consider that I have attained. I don't look at myself as being perfect. The work of the Lord is not yet complete in me. But I follow after. I'm pursuing in order that I might apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, Paul recognized something that it's very important for all of us to recognize who have been apprehended by Jesus Christ. When the Lord apprehended us, and you can all look back in your own life to that point where the Lord apprehended you, where he said, I've chosen you and ordained you that you should be my disciple. And we turned to follow Jesus Christ. Now, when the Lord apprehended us, he had in his mind a plan and a purpose for each of our lives. The Lord knew exactly what he intended for you to do. He had a work for you to fulfill. Paul said, I have not yet apprehended that for which I was apprehended. The Lord apprehended me, but when he did, he had a purpose in mind. I've not yet accomplished that purpose. Now, the fact that we are sitting here tonight, we can all say the same thing. I've not yet apprehended that for which I was apprehended. The reason why we can all say it tonight is because we're all here. Why did the Lord apprehend you? So that you could share with him the eternal glories of his kingdom. And so when he has finished with me here, this robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air. Farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. And one day when I'm sitting, looking up in Jesus' face, just overwhelmed by his glory and love, I'll turn to the fellow next to me and I'll say, I finally have apprehended that for which I was apprehended. This is what the Lord intended for me. To be with him in his kingdom, to share with him his glory. Father, I would that those who have you have given to me to be with me here would also share with me in the kingdom. That's why God apprehended you. He has a glorious plan and a purpose for your future. He has a plan for your life now. And we should be as Jesus, who said, I must be about my Father's business. Anything I do for myself is a waste of time and effort. I am forestalling the plan of God. So what do? I forget those things which are behind. A lot of people make the mistake of trying to live in the past. And with a lot of people, there's just a lot of, you know, bad experiences in the past. And the problem is that they're constantly going back and going over those bad experiences. And they're not really going ahead in life at all because they're so involved in the past. They really did me wrong. I can't get over that. I can't believe what they did to me. I just can't rise above it. I just, you know, and living in the past and being destroyed in the past. They can't go ahead because they're looking backward. Living in the past, there's always that danger of discouragement, which shuts off initiative for the future. You know, the Lord may inspire you to some good work that He wants you to do. Many times, the worst thing you can do is share with your friends what the Lord's laid upon your heart to do. Because so many times they say, well, you really can't do that. You see, someone else already tried that, and it just doesn't work, you know. And so they go back to the past, and they pick up the failures of the past, and they're discouraged to try anything in the future. And so looking back to the past, oftentimes we look at our failures, and we're discouraged from trying to go on. Hey, I've tried it before. I've tried it for so long. It just doesn't work. I just can't do it. You know, if I could, I would have done it a long time ago. And looking back, I'm discouraged from trying to go ahead. Or on the other hand, a person looks back and glories in their victories of the past, and they are resting on their accolades. You know, it's what I used to be. What I used to do. I hold the record, you know, and my name is on the record books and all. And they're always looking at their past. They're doing nothing now. They're stagnating now. They go to the bars and drink light beer and talk about the touchdowns they used to make, you know. Living in the past glories. Television would cause you to think that that's all retired baseball and football players do, or just hang around the bars drinking light beer, you know, talking about the past. And it's sad when a person is resting in the past, not pressing ahead. The past has been glorious. It's been exciting to see what God has done. But, you know, I'm more excited about what God is going to do. So forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. We haven't seen anything yet. Like the song said, mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. And rather than resting in the past what God has done, let's look forward to what God wants to do. We haven't yet scratched the surface of the work that needs to be done in the hearts and lives of people in Orange County, in Southern California, across the United States. We've only begun to see the work of God. We've only begun to see the glory of God poured out. Let's not just sit back and rest. Let's press forward to what God has for us in the future. Reaching forth to those things which are before, I press. And the word in the Greek is agonizo. They say that in training for the Olympics, you've got to go till it hurts and you have to work yourself through the pain. I mean, you've got to give it every effort working through pain, beyond the pain threshold. You run until you ache and you think you can't go anymore, but you keep going. You think you're going to drop, but you keep going. And there comes that second wind, and then it seems like you can go forever. But it's working through it. But it's agonizing when you're pressing towards the mark. I agonizo towards the mark for the prize of the high calling God. Paul said, don't you realize that they that run in a race run all, only one receives the prize, so run that you may obtain. There are a lot of people running the race just to say, well, I ran in the race. Oh, where did you place? Oh, I didn't finish it, but I ran in it. Paul said, one receives the prize, now you run to obtain. In other words, give it all you've got. Press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many who would be complete, be thus minded. Let this be in your mind. Let this be the same rule for your life. Forgetting the things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before, pressing towards that mark. Be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God will reveal this even unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us mind the same thing. Let this be your mind. Let's walk by these rules. And so the rule of the Christian life is forgetting those things which are behind and pressing for those things which are before, or reaching for those things which are before, pressing towards the mark. Brethren, be followers together of me. So let this be your mind. Let this be your attitude. Follow me and mark them which walk so as you have us for your example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and I now tell you even weeping, that they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. You know, there are a lot of people who talk a lot about Jesus Christ, but are enemies of the cross of Christ. That is, they want still to live after the flesh so bad that the idea of being crucified with Christ, the death of the old life, the death of the old man, the death of the flesh life, is irritating to them. They don't want to hear it. They're enemies of that message. They want to tell you that you ought to be prosperous. You ought to be successful. You ought to be living in luxury. You're God's child. You ought to be indulging your flesh. Whatever you desire, just ask God, insist on God, command God. Because you can drive a Cadillac. And you can live on Lido Island. And you can have these things of your flesh, you know. And it's an interesting period in church history where those who are indulging their flesh look upon it as spiritual superiority. You know, if you only had enough faith, you could be jetting across the United States also in your own Learjet, you know. So it's rather tragic because these people are opposed to the life of sacrifice, self-denial. And yet that's the first step that Jesus said was necessary to be a disciple of his. You've got to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him. And Paul said, follow me. You have me as your example. The old life, you know, I counted loss. I want to know him. I want to know the power of the resurrection, but yet I want to know the fellowship of the sufferings and the cross. So those things which were once gained, those things which were once so important to me, I count a loss and I forget those things which are behind because I'm pressing forth for those things which are before. Now follow me as an example. Live by this rule. Because there are those who don't live by this rule. There are those who are living after their flesh. They are enemies to the cross of Christ. Not to Christ himself, but to that aspect of suffering with him, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, because their minds are always on earthly things. They are out there. There are many of them. in front of people. They can act very holy and sanctified and excited and exhilarated in the things of the Lord. But when they get away from the stage, they can have filthy mouths, they can tell dirty jokes, they're living a two-faced life. They exist, they are there. Paul warns that they are there. They were there in Paul's day, they are there today. They really mind earthly things. Their mind isn't after the Spirit. And after the things of the Spirit, they're more concerned and interested in the types of cars that they drive and the things of the flesh and the earthly things than they are the things of the Spirit. But Paul said, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, or our body of humiliation, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Our citizenship, hey, let's not get, Paul said, too involved in the world. Let your every contact with the world be just as light as possible. Our citizenship isn't here. Abraham and those saints of the Old Testament, the scripture said, confessed that they were just strangers and pilgrims on this earth. But they were looking for the city which hath foundation, whose maker and builder is God. They were looking for the eternal kingdom of God. They weren't looking for their place. And so they roamed the earth as outcasts, not possessing of the earth. Jesus roamed the earth as an outcast. Didn't seek to possess anything of the earth. Why? Because he was interested in the heavenly kingdom. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who when he comes, he's going to change our bodies that they might be fashioned like his own glorious image. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doesn't yet appear what we're going to be, but we know when he appears, we're going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I'll show you a mystery. We're not going to all sleep, but we're all going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And then will be brought to pass the saying, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? When Jesus Christ comes again, we will each experience a metamorphosis. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to reach the everlasting prize. The new body, the building of God, not made with hands, the eternal house that God has created for my spirit. And so this body will be changed, and I'll receive a new body like his, fashioned like his glorious image. According to that power of the Spirit that raised him from the dead. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for. What beautiful words by Paul to the church. Expressing his heart, just bearing his heart to him. Dearly beloved, I long for you. My brothers, who I dearly love and I long for. You are my joy. And you are my crown. Stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. The heart of the apostle. He's bearing his heart now. His love for those that he ministered to and those who ministered to him. Now, there were a couple of women in Philippi who were having an argument, a fight. That's not becoming the church. And so Paul said, I beseech Yodia. The S isn't there. It's just the S would make it a masculine name, but in the Greek, unfortunately, women, it is a feminine name, Yodia. And I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Now, let's not argue. Let's not fight. Let's not create division within the body. Let's be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. Now, we don't know who Paul is referring to here. There have been a lot of guesses, probably all of them wrong. But the yoke fellow would be one who had labored together. Maybe he was writing to the Philippian jailer who had been converted. There are some, I think it was Tertullian, one of the early church fathers, said he was writing here to his wife, but that hardly seems possible. Help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other of my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. When Paul went to Philippi, he first shared the gospel by the river where a group of ladies had gathered together for prayer. Among them, Lydia, you remember, the seller of purple. And having shared with the women, the following week they told their friends, and a big crowd of people gathered to hear Paul share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because many of the women believed and were saved and baptized. And so the work of God really began with women, and that they had a very important part in the ministry in the church in Philippi. And so help those women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life.
Gather the family and listen closely, because this is the greatest story ever told. Join Pastor Chuck Smith as he brings to life the powerful story of God's love and redemption in the book titled The Story of the Resurrection. Hear about the problem every one of us faced, a problem so great that God himself had to come down and rescue us. Walk alongside the disciples as God's plan unfolds. Stand at the empty tomb and rejoice in the hope Jesus left behind for us all. This beautifully illustrated book includes a special audio CD of Pastor Chuck reading the story aloud, along with voice talents from Skip Heitzig, Greg Laurie, Raul Reese, Cheryl Broderson, and many more. It's never too early to read God's Word to your children. Imprint timeless truth on their hearts again and again. Order your copy today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. Don't miss this opportunity to share the hope of the resurrection with the next generation.
May the Lord be with you and bless you and watch over you during the week. May your love and commitment to God grow day by day. And may we each one consider what we are giving to God and how we give it, that we might render unto God that which is pleasing and acceptable in his sight, of our time, of our service, of our abilities, of our substance. God bless you. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Philippians on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673. Or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Philippians 3 through 4. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.